Okay, just for the purpose of the webcast, it's the Father Heart TV webcast, Wednesday the 6th of November 2019. And we're just continuing our series looking at some of the basic foundational topics of this whole revelation. Really just to sort of lay this important foundation once again. So last week Barry spoke on the heart of sonship, and we both feel that this whole topic of sonship is something so important and such a big topic for us that we thought we'd both have a crack at it. And so last week Barry was talking on the heart of sonship, and I'm talking this week on the Holy Spirit of sonship. Really how the Holy Spirit reveals the heart of sonship, and how the Holy Spirit grows the heart of sonship in us. This is just such an important, big topic, living as sons, because I really believe that's the gospel, that when Jesus came, he came to reveal the Father, but he came so that we could live as he lives, which, as we're going to see this evening, is really living as a son. And I guess for all of us, that's a journey. And we're at different stages of the journey, different phases of the journey. For some of us, we've been on the journey a number of years. For others, it's relatively new. And that's okay. That's fine. Each one of us has our own journey. And the thing about sonship is it really is a lifelong journey. It's something we stick with and we grow in and we walk in, we live in. It's not kind of like a lot of things in our Christian experience are really kind of a one touch experience or two touch experience, where we have an encounter and we're prayed for, we receive something, but then a lot of our life just carries on as normal or carries on as before. But you know, I really believe as we begin to walk as Jesus walked, as we walk in sonship, we will actually discover what I've written about in my new book, that this revelation, this journey, really, really does change everything. Because I believe that the gospel message is for us to walk as Jesus walked, to live as Jesus lived. Not to do what he did necessarily, because I've said this often, it's not about writing a list of all the things that Jesus did, sticking it onto the fridge with a magnet and working your way down the list and ticking them off as you do them. You know, because if we had to live like that, it would be works. And the reality is, not many of us have ticked many things off the list. So I don't believe walking as Jesus walked is doing what he did, but I believe very, very firmly that it's having the same heart as Jesus had. And that's the heart of sonship, and that's the heart of sonship that grows in us. And, I guess we'll be exploring it for the rest of our lives and seeing what it really means for us. I want to start off today with a couple of verses from 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 6, John writes this. He says, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' but doesn't keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked." Now, it's very easy, and I think a lot of people do this, and I did it for a number of years. It's very easy to read verses like that and read it or see it as a new set of rules that we've got to comply with. You know, you've got to do this, you've got to walk as Jesus walked. You've got to keep his commandments. If you don't do it, you're a liar. The truth isn't in you. It sounds very harsh. And, we can easily take that on board and feel as if it is a new set of rules that we've got to keep. You know, we've just kind of think we've just got rid of the old rules, and suddenly we feel like we've been given a whole lot of new rules. But I don't believe it is that. I don't believe it's a new set of rules. I believe it's showing us a new way to live. It's giving us a description of a relationship. See, if we go right back to the beginning of 1 John, the beginning of that letter, John starts off his letter by saying this. He says, "This, that which was from the beginning, the things we have heard, the things we have seen with our own eyes, the things we have looked at, and the things our hands have touched. This is what we are proclaiming to you, the word of life." See, John starts off his letter by saying, "I've seen it, I've heard it, I've touched it." See, he's experienced something. And the whole context of John's letter for us is an experience that he wants us to enter into. You know, when he writes God is love, he is writing to us about his experience of God the Father. And so he wants us to enter into this experience, and so for ourselves. So he's not giving us a new set of rules, but he's describing for us a relationship. And so we have to read those verses in chapter 2 that I started with in the context of relationship. See, walking as Jesus walked is what relationship did Jesus have with his Father? And how can I have that same relationship? You cannot create a relationship by issuing a set of rules or guidelines. A relationship is always born in the heart. And if we are to walk as Jesus walked, or to live as Jesus lived, this relationship is birthed in our hearts. And we can become like John. You know, this will become something that we can touch, something that we can hear, something that we can see with our own eyes. You know, that we too will enter into the experience that John very, very clearly had. And we too can enter into that same relationship with the Father that Jesus had. I remember hearing Bill Johnson say one day, he said, "Any revelation of God must lead to us having a deeper depth of relationship with him. Any revelation of God must lead to a greater depth of revelation." And you know, I believe as the Father is revealed to us, it's going to take us into that deeper relationship with him. And I just very simply want to encourage you to pursue this journey, and don't give up on it, don't settle, don't feel like you've received the fullness of it all, that you've got it, but always have in your heart that there is always more. Because, you know, the beautiful reality of this journey is there is always more. There is always more for us to discover. And that's really what I want to talk about a little bit this evening, is this journey of sonship, so that we begin to walk as Jesus walked. Because that to me is what this whole revelation is about, is that we become like him, that we are changed into his likeness. See, when we read the gospel accounts, what we see very, very clearly is the thing that was central to Jesus' life, the thing that was central to his ministry, was not his title or actually the ministry that he did, but what was totally central to everything he was his relationship with his Father. And I know Barry mentioned a number of these things last week in his talk on sonship, but I just want to kind of re-emphasize them again today, or mention them again. You know, when Jesus was baptized, and we read about that in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water, he came out of the up in the river, and we read that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the heavens opened and a voice spoke, you know, and it was the Father. And the Father said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." You know, that's my boy. You know, it's just like the Father couldn't contain himself. And he said, "Son, I'm so proud of you." And, you know, I really believe that that is something that we need to hear regularly. We need to regularly hear the Father say to us, you know, "Son, my daughter, I'm proud of you. I love you." And, you know, if we're feeling a bit low or not quite sure of ourselves, I believe we can go to the Father and say, "Father, will you just say those words to me? Will you just speak those words of affirmation into my heart again?" See, if Jesus needed it, you know, how much more do we need it? When Jesus went into the wilderness after his baptism in Matthew chapter 4, you know, Satan tempted him three times. And he started off his temptations, you know, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." And it was like what Satan was doing was like saying, "Prove it. You know, show yourself, do something to demonstrate that you're the Son of God." And Jesus was so secure in his relationship with the Father, he didn't need to prove it to anyone. You know, he was just so secure that the only thing that mattered was the connection of his heart to his Father's heart. You know, he knew that was rock solid. He knew that was unshakable. He knew that it had been there since all of eternity before the beginning of Genesis. And he knew that it would be there for all of eternity. And so he's absolutely totally sure of who he is. And, you know, Satan tries to make him prove it. And Jesus just says, "Oh, you know, go away. You know, you've got nothing on me." Again, on the Mount of Transfiguration, we read about that in Matthew chapter 17. Again, the heavens opened and the Father said, "Son, I love you. I'm proud of you." You know, it's that affirmation from the Father. And, you know, as I've said, if Jesus needed it, how much more do we need it? You know, in John chapter 19, when the leaders came against Jesus, you know, their claim was not all the miracles he did, not all the things he was teaching about, but the thing that really, really annoyed and made the leaders angry was that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Well, it wasn't just a claim, it was reality. But for them, they couldn't see the reality, and they thought he was just trying to take a position that wasn't really his. And it was Jesus's relationship with the Father that was the leader's claim against him. So all through the Gospels we read how secure Jesus was in his sonship and how important that was, that it was really the only thing that mattered. You know, we get so caught up with labels and titles and function, and we think that those things define us. Like, you know, I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher, I'm an evangelist, I'm a worship leader, I'm a kids worker. And they're all very, very important things, but they're functions, they're not relationship. And, you know, we may move in all of those different giftings, all of those different functions at different times, but they don't define who we are. Jesus did all of those things, but they didn't define who he was. What defined him was his sonship, his relationship with his Father, that he knew that he was loved. And, you know, he ends up his time on earth with John chapter 17, those last words where he said, "Father, I've revealed you to them. I will go on revealing you to them so that they may know that they're loved just like I'm loved." See, that's what Jesus came for, and that's the gospel. Is for us to walk in that revelation and impartation of love that Jesus lived in. And that's why it's a lifelong journey. That's why it's going to take us the rest of eternity to explore it. You know, even in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus went to the temple as a 12-year-old boy, he knew that God was his Father. You know, he said when his mum and dad found him, Jesus said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" See, even at that age, he knew who he was, that he was a son to his Father. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to live out his whole life being a son. You know, he probably started before the age of 12, but that's the first time it's recorded for us. And he ends his life, you know, after the resurrection, he says to Mary, "Go to my brothers and say that I'm going to my Father and their Father, my Father and your Father, you know, my God and your God." See, the whole of Jesus' life, from the very first time we encounter him as a young boy till the time after the resurrection, he's saying one thing, you know, "I'm a son." And he opened the door for us to walk in sonship, and to live like him, to walk as Jesus walked. You know, throughout scripture there's very, very few characters we see who really understood what that was all about. But one of them was King David. He was actually referred to as, Jesus was actually referred to as the son of David, the son of Joseph, the son of God, but also the son of David. And we read in Acts chapter 13 that David was a man after God's heart. Did David live a perfect life? No, he didn't. Did he get things wrong? Regularly. But whatever was going on in his life, Acts, Paul, or the Luke rather, writes of David as being a man after God's heart. We read in Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, when David, as a young boy, was anointed as the future king of Israel. We read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, that the Holy Spirit rushed on him from that day onwards. You see, and that's I think, probably the first mention in the Bible of the Holy Spirit bringing this heart of sonship into our hearts, because it was that Holy Spirit that was rushing on David every day of his life that made him be the man after God's heart, made him have a heart of sonship, have the heart of a son. I believe that, you know, the Father wants to draw us into this relationship. And Jesus kind of is pointing us in that way. In John 15, verse 15, Jesus says, you know, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave doesn't know what a master is doing, but I call you friends. For all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." You see, we and I talked about this the other week, we have this transition from being servants or disciples to being friends. But then after the resurrection, Jesus calls us his brothers. You know, we are on the same footing, if you like. The thing that I've discovered is facts and principles are good. They're necessary, we need them. But on their own, they will not lead to our heart being changed. They will not lead to our lives being transformed. You know, they're good, they're necessary, but they lead to duty, religion, or performance. But when we know that God is our Father, and we're living in this experiential relationship that I talked about a few moments ago of touching it and seeing it and hearing it, you know, this is the word of life. When we step into and we live in this experience, the things that we learn become life to us, and it's because they are rooted in our heart that our lives begin to change. When these facts and principles are rooted in our mind, they just lead to the duty and the performance and the religion. But when they are rooted in relationship in our heart, we will have a transformed life. Our lives will be totally, totally transformed. You know, I keep coming back to it. You know, the reason I called my new book, It Changes Everything, is very simple, because I really do believe that a revelation and an encounter with the Father's love will change everything. And I feel like I've only begun to touch some of those things in the book, but that's been my experience, is that when we encounter the love of God in our heart and we begin to walk this journey of sonship, everything will change. Jesus said in John chapter 7 verse 37, he said, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of life. See, what Jesus is giving us there is not a collection of facts. It's not about information, but it's about drinking life. See, it's a relationship. It's intimacy. It's not about what we do, but it's all about who we are. You see, we have the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in us, that enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. See, in John chapter 14, Jesus says that powerful verse, you know, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You see, Jesus recognizes the orphan heart inside each one of us. And he says, you don't have to live like that. I'm going to come to you. And the very next thing he says is, I'm going to send another comforter, another counselor, who is the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you forever. And Paul expands on that in Galatians and in Romans, that the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, and it's the Spirit of sonship, the Holy Spirit of sonship, that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. You see, Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you living as orphans in the emptiness of an orphan-hearted way of life, but I am coming to you. And Jesus has already says that the Father is in him and he is in the Father. So it's kind of like, and they in verse 23, they say, you know, we will come together, we will come and make our home in your heart. So, you know, Jesus is basically saying this is the involvement of all of the Trinity. You know, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit are going to make their home in our heart. And the Holy Spirit is going to enable us and empower us to cry, Abba, Father. And Jesus says at the end of John 17 that he will continue to reveal the Father to us, because he wants us to go on growing in this revelation of sonship, so that we go on growing in walking as Jesus walked. So it's definitely not a collection of facts or information, but it's drinking life. And as we drink life, deep inside of us will grow, will flow a river of living water. You know, I love this. We take a drink, and that little drink that we take becomes a river of living water. And I want to encourage you just very simply to go on drinking life. Go on drinking life, because it's that life that will grow in us, that, you know, gradually we'll notice that we're being transformed more and more to be like Jesus. I often talk about it as like a magnet. You know, when you've got two magnets, and if you push them together in a certain way, they don't stick to each other, but they push apart, they repel each other. And, you know, I think when we've got an orphan heart, we can't get close to the Father because of the emptiness inside of us and the shallow life of performance and independence. And it's constantly like, you know, two magnets. One of them is the wrong way round, and they just repel and push off against each other. But I believe when we've had a revelation of the Father's love, and, you know, his love is filling our hearts, and the orphan heart is being dealt with, it's like the magnet of our life is turned round, and instead of repelling, it's attracted. You know, and you know, it's like if you've got two magnets that are aligned correctly, they snap together and they lock together. And you know, I believe that as sons, we are attracted to the Father. We're attracted to life. And we want to stick to that relationship rather than constantly trying to push away and live in that independence. We choose to be stuck to life. See, in John chapter 8, Jesus says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son has a permanent place in the family. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. See, a slave doesn't know they belong. They don't feel they belong. They don't feel they've got a place in the home or in the family. They feel like an outsider. And, you know, many of us will have seen that with orphans and with orphan children, that they don't feel as if they belong. And they constantly want to run away and hide and just have their own place and be on their own all the time. And, you know, shut the door and hide under the bed. But Jesus says, no, that's how a slave lives. That's how an orphan lives. But a son has a permanent place in the family. And if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And, you know, I just want to say to us all today, and those of you who are watching this later, that you have a permanent place in the family. You know, you belong. And I think many of us, because of the brokenness of our own hearts, we really struggle to comprehend that. We really struggle to believe it. We find it difficult to receive. But, you know, I want to say that we are all sons of God through the faith of Jesus. And if we are all sons of God, if we're all daughters, then we have a permanent place in his family. And that is unchangeable. It can't be taken away from you. You belong. You know, and I just want to say those words again. You belong. You belong. Because each one of us belongs to our Father. We have a special place in his heart. He has chosen to make his home in our hearts. And I just think that's such an exciting thing. And that's this journey of sonship. And, you know, that's why it's something that we start and we go on with and we carry on with, because it's a deeper, deeper revelation of relationship. It's a deeper realization of relationship that will change everything inside of us. See, when we live as a son, we will want to please our Father. In Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8, it says, sacrifice and offerings you didn't desire, but my ears, I believe it's the ears of our heart, you've opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you don't want. And then the psalmist says, here I am, I've come. I delight to do your will. You see, if you love someone, obedience ceases to be obedience. And it becomes a delight. It becomes a desire to please. You know, obedience is only an issue. Obedience is kind of, you know, it's the thing we teach our children. See, when our kids come home now, they're all grown up. But when they come home, we don't have a washing up rota. We don't have a stacking a dishwasher rota. They just do it out of the kindness of their goodness of their heart. Over the weekend, we were away together. We had a wedding and a lot of the family were together. We were all staying in a flat. And, you know, breakfast time, everybody just mucks in. And, woohoo, there's a cooked breakfast on the table. You know, why? It's not a question of obedience and me saying who's going to do breakfast. It's just kind of like a desire to please. Probably a desire to have breakfast as well. But it's a desire to please. And that desire comes out of love. And obedience, we think that if we obey God enough, then maybe one day he'll love us. And we think obedience is the thing, is the pathway to the Father. But it's not. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. You know, obedience comes out of love, not the other way around. It's not love comes out of obedience, but its obedience comes out of love. And if obedience comes out of love, it's actually, as the psalmist says, it's a desire. And isn't that so much easier than heavy-handed set of rules and trying to do the right thing? It's just, I delight to do your will. Here I am. I've come. I delight to do your will. You know, and I think when our hearts become open to the Father, it becomes a greater desire in our hearts to do his will. And in fact, in Ezekiel 37, I think it is, Ezekiel writes that God will put his spirit in us, and it will be his spirit that will cause us or motivate us to walk in his ways. You see, I don't know about you, but, you know, I've tried very, very hard to do the right thing. I've tried to walk in God's ways, and, you know, I can do it for a bit, I can do it for a while, but actually it's a struggle. But what we read in Ezekiel is that God has put his spirit in us, and it's his spirit in us that will motivate us, will cause us to walk in his ways. And that's why I've called this topic the Holy Spirit of Sonship, because it's, you know, we often limit the Holy Spirit to the gifts or the function or the fruit. But actually, when we look at it closely, the Holy Spirit, you know, when we look in Ezekiel, when we look into the life of David, as I referred to, when we look at what Jesus says, when we look at what Paul says, we actually see that primarily and principally the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts to enable us to walk as sons. And then, of course, as we walk as sons, he enables us with he gives us the gifts, enables us to move in the gifts, and the fruit of the Spirit grow in us. But I think, you know, when we limit the Holy Spirit to the gifts and the fruit and the function, we're missing out on so much. Because, of course, you know, God is a giver. And he loves to give us good gifts, and he wants us to use those gifts. We desperately need them. You know, the church desperately needs them. But we also need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is God's own spirit. It's the very core of his being. And he has taken of himself and put that same spirit into our spirit in order to produce his life within us. You see, it's not us that produces life, but it's his spirit in us that produces life. You know, he's put his character, he's put his nature in us because we are made in his image. And we've not lost that. You know, it might have been tainted, but each one of us, every human being in fact, is made in the image of God. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 11, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Therefore, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, when we allow Jesus to reveal the Father to us, when the eyes of our heart are open to see the revelation that Jesus is always bringing us, when we see who the Father is, Jesus says, okay, come and find rest. And actually take on a burden and a yoke that is easy, it's not heavy. And it's like, this is what Jesus is saying, this is what I do. This is the yoke I bear. This is the yoke I walk in. I walk in a yoke of relationship with my Father. And if you take that same yoke upon you, that same yoke of relationship with the Father, then you will find rest for your souls. And you will discover that it's easy and the burden is light. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that comes into our hearts that enables us to see with the eyes of our hearts the Father. And as we see the Father, so we begin to recognize that actually we too, like Jesus, can walk in this yoke of relationship with him. It's not like Jesus, I don't believe Jesus is calling us into a yoke with him. He's saying, take the same yoke that I wear. You know, and Jesus is wearing a yoke where he is yoked in relationship with his Father. And he says, why don't you come and join me? in relationship with my Father. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes into our hearts, and as we've said in Romans 8 and in Galatians 4, Paul says the Holy Spirit is a spirit of sonship that enables us to say, God, you really are my Father. And in Galatians he says, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir. And just let me briefly just sort of say, you know, what are we an heir to? You know, what is our inheritance? Well, I believe it's, you know, when God made a promise to Abraham, he said, you know, I'm going to give you the nations as your inheritance, and your descendants will be more numerous than the grains of the sand. See, the inheritance that God gave to Abraham was the nations. And I believe that when Paul is writing, we're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then we're an heir. Then what we inherit is the promise that was given to Abraham, which is that we will inherit the nations. We will inherit them as sons, not as slaves, not as orphans, but as sons. And when God gives the nations to his sons, I believe, as we read in Ezekiel and in Revelation, that the leaves of the tree of life will bring healing to the nations. But I believe that's a promise that we will only see fulfilled in its entirety and its fullness when we live as sons. I believe God is so generous and so kind that we will see a measure of it being fulfilled. But when we really live as sons and grow in sonship, I believe we are going to see a greater outpouring of his love to the nations, and the nations of this world being transformed by the love of the Father. So, the Holy Spirit of sonship. I like to use this little illustration of what I see the Holy Spirit being like. If I was in a meeting with people, I would actually get a couple of people to help me demonstrate this. But it's like, you know, on one side we have God the Father, and on the other side we have us. And the illustration I like to use is like the Holy Spirit is like a bridge that links the heart of the Father to our hearts. But it's not like a bridge that, you know, has got distance between it that you can walk over. But it's like, I know you wouldn't get this, but it's kind of like my picture. It's like an elastic bridge that the Holy Spirit not only bridges the gap between the Father and us, but he draws us together. He draws the Father to us. But he doesn't leave it like that. He draws us into the Father and wraps around us so that we become one with the Father. See, I really believe that that's what we see in Scripture written about the Holy Spirit, that it's God's own Spirit placed into our hearts that draws us into this heart connection, this heart relationship with the Father, that makes us one with the Father, that takes away the wall of separation, it takes away the distance, and it makes us one. Not one like that, but one like this, where we are totally enveloped in our Father's arms, where we are carried in his heart. And so I see, that's the picture I very often use, because I really believe that's what is happening when the Holy Spirit fills our heart. It's the Spirit of sonship that enables us to recognize that God is our Father, and that we can call him Father because that's who he is. And he draws us into that oneness and that unity with him. See, when we're drawn into that oneness and that unity with the Father, I believe we'll begin to understand what it really is to walk as Jesus walked. and to live as Jesus lived. You know, in John chapter 16, Jesus says, you know, in that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will request of the Father on your behalf. No, in verse 27, the Father himself loves you. You see, what Jesus, I believe, is saying there is, you know, he doesn't need to ask the Father on our behalf, but we can go to the Father directly. We've got a direct connection with the Father. Why? Because he, the Father himself, is loving us. And that's, you know, the Father loves us just like he loves Jesus. He loves us in the same way. He loves us with the same passion, the same intensity. And, you know, it's that powerful force of love coming into our hearts that will drive out the emptiness of our orphan ways. And it will set us free to walk and to live as Jesus walked. And so, you know, we often pray, don't we? We often ask to be filled with the Spirit, you know, and we want to be filled with the Spirit and we want more of the Spirit. And, you know, I really believe that's great and that's good. But we often have in our minds when we ask for that is, you know, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can use the gifts, so we can see more fruit. It's you know, please hear me correctly on this. It's a very, very functional request. You know, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order that we can function. And I believe that's a huge part of what the Holy Spirit does. But principally and primarily, I believe the Holy Spirit is relational. And what he wants to do is, as we are filled with the Spirit, he wants to deepen our relationship with the Father. He wants to take us in deeper into that reservoir of love. It's not, you know, if we come and ask a functional question, God is so gracious and so loving and so kind that he will answer us on a functional basis and he will give us what we ask for. And but that's only part of the story. See, I believe that the greater part of the story is for us to be filled with the Spirit, which is the Spirit of sonship, which releases us to walk as Jesus walked. And what I just want to do as we close now is just to pray and to ask for an infilling and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit for each one of us. Not from a functional basis, not as a functional request, but as a relational request. That, you know, and I just want to invite you to open your hearts to receive the baptism of the Spirit of Sonship. So, you know, many of us have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I want to pray that we have a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit we receive tonight is a baptism into the Spirit of Sonship that enables us and releases us to walk as Jesus walked. So, Barry, I don't know if you can put the music on for us and come back when you're ready, but let's just open our hearts to the Father, to the Holy Spirit of Sonship. Oh, Father, thank you that you really are our Father. Thank you that you're loving us with an everlasting love. And thank you, Father, that you've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us the gifts of the Spirit. You've given us the ministries of the Holy Spirit. You've given us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But, Father, I thank you too that you've given us the Holy Spirit to be your Spirit, living in our spirit, that will motivate us and cause us to walk in your ways, that we would walk as Jesus walked, that we would have a greater encounter with you, Father, that we would see greater things, that we would touch greater things, that we would hear greater things, that the experience that John writes about in his letter would be our experience. And so, Father, I pray right now, right around the world, that you would baptize your sons and daughters with the Holy Spirit of Sonship. that, Father, you would pour the Holy Spirit of sonship into our hearts. That, as Jesus said, that we're not left as orphans, but you will, that he sends another comforter, another counselor to be with us. The Spirit of sonship that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. So, Father, just would you baptize your children? Would you baptize your sons and daughters with the Spirit of sonship, the Holy Spirit of sonship? May we allow that elastic bridge to draw us right into the heart of the Father, that we would know that we're loved as Jesus is loved, that we would know in the depths of our heart that we belong, that we belong to you. If you're in doubt of that this evening, just put your hand on your heart and say, I belong, I belong, I belong. I receive the Spirit of sonship. I receive the Holy Spirit of sonship. Just allow yourselves to be baptized into the Holy Spirit of sonship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.